All right, welcome to Noise Evocation Podcast. I'm Jeremy, here with Ryan, and today we have Poison Tongues, Jason Shrum, and Mike Ecklehart. Did I say that right, dude? Probably slaughtered it. But
that's a good try, dude.
Thanks.
No, that's a good try.
But we're here to talk about some new music you guys just put out, and it's pretty exciting. You haven't put out anything in a while, and so
yeah,
how's it going?
Been a while, definitely.
How you guys doing?
Just getting a record out is a pain in the ass. Like, this shit was ready a year ago, almost.
Oh, so it's been recorded forever?
Yeah, it's been.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, because we knew about it. We knew about it upcoming, like early this year, because we had talked to Jim Davey and he said something about it and wanted to talk like later on in the year. So yeah, it's been a while.
That's why I asked if one of you guys was Jim. But yeah. So what's why did it take so long? Can you divulge that information?
I don't know. You know, life happens, man.
Yeah, just shit gets in the way. I hear that.
Yeah, and tried to get labels secured is almost impossible for some reason. And I know like other bands are having trouble with it too. Just for anyone, just to like, you know, release your shit in you know, a quick amount of time.
Yeah. The it seems like the turnaround is a long time though.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, we decided just to release everything because we were sitting on it for so long. And, I mean, we already have new shit written on top of that that was probably going to come out.
So how many tracks do you have on this, on the new album?
We wanted to do an EP, something short, but it ended up being 8 tracks with an intro,
cool.
Kind of like a musical intro. And, you know, 7 songs on top of that. And it's definitely Poison Tongues is going kind of back to hardcore, so to speak, more hardcore writing on this record. And Born to Fire was super metal.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, compared to what we were doing before.
Kind of reminded me of, I know, like a full-blown Chaos kind of way.
Yeah.
Or a heavier band like that. The last album. But honestly, I only listened to that one, like, probably the least. Did that even get put out as a physical copy?
No, we just released that.
Digitally? That's what I thought. Because I have the other two.
We wanted to make a record about it. Maybe, you know, one day we will, you know.
Yeah. No,
but
same.
Even that record was, that was just, like, Len had retired the band before that record, and that was the first record I had to learn how to sing and play guitar on and try to figure shit out, you know, and just going to kind of, you know, more death metal voice was easy for me at the time.
Yeah.
Like, play.
We were just talking about that. Like I was saying how I wouldn't sing for a band because I have too much of a Cookie Monster death metal voice and it's just not my thing, you know, we're giggling about it.
Yeah, it was hard just to kind of jump in as being a lead vocal and then just develop a style right away.
Yeah. You kind of got to do that over time.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of all went down right before COVID. So you kind of had COVID to mess around with it. So it was like, I mean, we recorded the first version of that album with Lenny singing in mind, you know what I mean? And I remember we completely redid everything around your new vocals and then re-recorded it again. But it was just like, we took all that extra time we had during COVID, you know?
So is there, so there's another version without vocals that's mixed different or sound written different? Or is
there
it
was,
just gone?
Yeah, there was.
There's some of those songs and then there's new ones.
Gotcha.
So, well, yeah, with this EP, Beneath the Ice, definitely, you know, I think my vocal style is kind of just evolving.
The fucking title's sick, Beneath the Ice. I like that shit.
Yeah, it's sweet. Like, Justin came up with this idea of kind of doing a thing, right? You ever watch that?
Mm-hmm.
Or The Thing?
Oh, like a million times, yeah.
Like, it's only in, like, you know, the top 10 of all time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we're like, badass. And then we did our own version of it, kind of like did Detroit, like freezing, in the cold, on the river there, and like the thing kind of coming out of this like hole in the ice. So that was the theme of the whole album, so it turned out really good. I think it's pretty grimy. Like the guitars are real grimy on this, and we went back and forth, like kind of saying, should we redo the guitars because they're like real grimy sounding? But once we heard the whole thing mastered together, it's like we gotta like put this out. It's like,
yeah, I like them sounding dirty like that, and the breakdowns sound more natural, I think, than when they're real like instead of dirtied out like you guys are saying. I like that. It makes it scarier sounding, I suppose, or it would fit the trapped under or frozen under ice the thing type of deal.
I mean, generally people don't want their hardcore and punk music to be clean and
right
precise. Like, it's got to have that attitude and that little bit of flaw to it that makes it what it is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we got to develop our own sound, and it's really hard to like stick out nowadays just with all the bands, you got to compete with just to get people to listen,
Yeah. I mean, there's a new band every weekend, it seems. So like, yeah, it's hard to,
every single band coming out is just like, oh my God.
It's hard to stand out, like you said, but yeah, it's hard to get people to even digest all of that. Like, you're putting out so much music, and then you got to think like the people that listen to other genres and everything. I mean, just yesterday there was like 8 really big albums dropped, and then that's not even including like the small guys.
Yeah, totally.
What do you think about how you guys have seen the scene like come back to where shows are being put on like every fucking weekend? Sometimes there's 2 shows like I'd want to go to, 3 even one weekend.
Like I said, it's like it's hard for a band to survive unless you're super active, because there's so many shows every weekend.
Right. It's almost like you gotta just.
You can't go to all of them.
No, fuck no.
I wish I could, but like busy life and just dealing with our band and stuff like that, try to go to as many shows as I possibly can. And that's not enough, I always see shows that I can't go to. Man, it's a bummer, but it's cool that it's revived, definitely. And
for sure.
It's a cycle. I mean,
when. Yeah, definitely.
In the Alliance, like, we had a great hardcore scene when I played in Alliance, and that lasted for a couple years, and then it fizzled out a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's cool seeing how these cycles go, Even when I played in Hyde, and Jay used to play in Today I Wait, and that was like early 2000s.
Yeah, dude, I almost wore my fucking Hyde sweatshirt, but I didn't.
It's so crazy, We used to go to Canada and Face Down over there. I know.
Yeah, you guys were all over the place.
And that was so, it's so cool how like the scene just kind of keeps cycling and cycling. What's even better about it is it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you might not be able to tell that just because of the sheer like amount of shows there are, because back 10, 20 years ago there weren't as many shows. No. So you could go see them all. So it, if you don't have a lot of people at your show, the scene is bigger, but it's just like, it's hard, like you said.
Yeah, everybody, not everybody's got the time, the cash, the whatever to go to every single show. I mean, yeah. It takes us like 3.5-4 hours to get to a good show. So we're even more sparse than you guys are on attending shows. We get like a few a year at best.
The whole day commitment for you.
Oh, exactly.
The good news for us bands, though, is that the scene is getting so popular that there's been a lot of times where there's 3 shows going on in a night down here, but yeah, they're all sold out. I mean?
It's fucking
like
nuts.
3 big shows. And it's like, that's that many kids that are getting into it now. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it's fucking cool, too.
And there's got to be, like, if there's 3 shows, I guarantee there's at least a few people that bought tickets for all 3 that are just hopping around to each show, too.
That'd be fun. You'd miss something, though.
Be like, you'd miss something, but if you knew the set times, you could kind of weigh it out to be like, okay, I want to catch these guys at 11 o'clock, these guys at 8.
Venues were close enough. You could hop back and forth between
Now you guys,
small outer limits and sanctuary and just catch every band if you really wanted to, probably.
Yeah.
You guys are playing in Berkeley December 14th. Is that the next time you're playing?
Yeah.
Gatekeepers?
Oh, that's that game. Right? It's going to be Poison Tongues, Flesh Wound.
Oh, that's sick.
My friends from Grand Rapids, Fidakin, Limb from Limb from Ohio, and Dead Hang.
Yeah.
So pretty stacked.
See, that's some shit like
the hardcore bands.
You know, I wish. We could just fucking drive 10 minutes, half hour to that, dude.
Yeah, that's that, like, arcade or comic store or whatever.
Yeah, I wanted to go catch the Clock Face's first show there.
Okay,
but
I was going to say, somebody did their first show there that we talked to.
But life gets in the way, man, you know?
Yeah, no, that place is rad. It's like, it's like a Russian doll of a venue. You, like, walk in the first room, and it's a little gaming store, and then you go into the next room and there's a bar, and then you go into the next room and it's a big wide open room where they have like hall style shows.
Yeah, it's so like, it's like Bed Bath and Beyond, but cool. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, and then you go to the next room and you just fly into the void.
I noticed your Godzilla Jason in the back there.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, just saying.
I don't see a Godzilla.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Godzilla nut.
Oh, me too. We should talk right after. There?
Hell yeah.
Like, did you see that? This is totally off the subject of this music, but since it's Godzilla, I actually have one hanging here. But I got the bit. It was like a 96-inch by something from Jay Bannon, and it's set with Godzilla on it. Did you see those? They came out a couple years ago.
Oh.
The fucking huge. Crazy. I stuck it on my ceiling because I don't have any room, but I'll shoot you a picture. It's fucking
dope.
Yeah, that'd
be awesome.
And it says like in, it says in Japanese, what does it say? Like Destroyer of Worlds, something else. I don't know. It's fucking sick. I'll send you a picture. Send your Godzilla awesome. Nut.
That sounds great.
Anyway, back to Poison Tongues.
So the album's going to be 8-tracks. You guys said you were shopping around labels. Are you putting it out on a label or just putting it out on yourself?
We're putting it on a home label.
Okay.
Rakuten.
Tape will be out on Top Floor Tapes.
Oh, right on. Shout out to Jimmy.
Shout out to Jimmy.
Pizza, yeah, motherfucker.
The artwork, Craig Holloway did all the artwork for the EP. It's, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, that's fucking sick. Shout out to Craig, too.
That's so good.
Oh, yeah, he hooked us up, man.
That's awesome.
So you're putting out tapes first, and then you guys plan to do vinyl or anything too afterwards? I don't know why my Siri just started up.
Come again.
I definitely want a vinyl of that, and would probably pay, you know, to do it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll look into our options, I guess.
I mean, tapes fucking sell at this point, they really do, man. I see every release for like every artist come out on tape at this point, which is wild because sometimes the CD gets skipped. Like, I'm like, damn, there's more people playing tapes than CDs.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's cool.
Wild.
No, that shit, like the tape thing, you know, like for people that grew up with the fucking cassette tapes, we're just like, what the fuck? Like, I think it's cool though, getting like demos, shit like that, like we've said before, but
I mean, they serve 14. A purpose, but when they start getting like the Judas Priest, that new album that came out like early in the year, they did a tape for that. It was like $22, and the CD was only like $14.
That's crazy.
It's like, I did see what year did that Integrity 8-track come out that we always talk about?
I have no idea off the top of my head.
2008. That shit's pretty whack too.
I know The Sword did an 8-track, like, probably 8-9 years ago.
You know, just random.
That's one of the... I'm trying to get Systems Overload on vinyl. if I can find like original somewhere.
Oh shit, dude. That's
an original one.
Yeah, they did are pretty sweet though. All the reprints that they did recently with new artwork. Those are all pretty sick.
Yeah, they're real.
I got a couple of those.
Relapse did them, didn't they? They had like that invisible ink stuff on them.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
No, those came out real nice, and they were reasonably priced too. They think they were only like $25 at the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Most of the time with Relapse, there's not anything over 30, unless it's like a triple or something. They have good prices.
That live album that they put out for like the Halloween or whatever, that's really good. It has all the original members on the live show, aside from, you know, the drummer.
So, well, we'll stick to the band first before I start asking Jason about his pile of tapes that he's got down there, because he held up a Hyde tape a minute ago. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I saw it. I only have the CD.
So I don't even have a CD of that. Yeah. I have the MP3 files. That's all I got. So you guys are playing that show. Do you have any shows lined up in the oncoming year for 2025? And the album itself, do you have? I didn't research this. So I had a busy day yesterday. So is there a release date for it?
We haven't announced the release date for it yet, but I don't know when this is going to drop, but
this will drop Monday.
Oh, really? Okay. A couple weeks, right, Mike?
Yeah, I mean,
we're going to drop it the week before the show, so.
Okay. Right. Oh, right. Yeah, so that is only a couple weeks out. Yeah.
7th. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
It's Friday.
So fast.
It's a week before the show. And the show's on the 14th.
It'd be the 7th. Yeah. There you go.
December 7th.
We'll do it Friday.
Okay, cool.
Right on.
But yeah, and then shows wise, I mean, I don't think we have anything solid, but we're talking to a few people. We're going to try to play a lot of shows in 2025. Get out of Detroit a little more than we have in the last few years. And
yeah, there's scenes popping up in like Springfield and fucking Naptown, like all over the place, man. It's cool that you guys could play like Midwestern, you know. And not have to drive too far.
I'm sure there's quite a bit going on in Grand Rapids, too. I don't see as much of it just because maybe I'm not as plugged into it, but I'm sure there's a big scene over there as well.
Grand Rapids, Muskegon.
Yeah.
We just played at the Runoff in Kalamazoo not that long ago. That's kind of a fun little place.
That's cool. So it's really popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, Kalamazoo. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's right outside Grand Rapids, 40 minutes or so. So, yeah, they have some good record stores there, too.
So what did you guys use for, like, to get your guitar sounds and shit? What were you guys using for, like, your rig and shit?
Shit, dude. I think, so Schmo was using a crank cabinet with a 5150.
That's my shit.
And I used my 5150 in a Mesa. And I don't know. It was, and then we recorded it with the SM57. And just the way the guitars came out, they were just real grindy. Like I turned the gain down and everything, and I was just like, man, like I can't.
The Mesa, yeah, dirtier so, up.
Yes. So, it turned out real good. I like it, you know. But
What guitar were you using? What kind of guitar?
Let's see. What, a 7-string Ibanez Prestige. And then Schmo has, like, a Schecter.
That shit, that 7-string fucking cuts, like, deep.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, it has a heavy chug.
No, I got a pointy guitar too, a Jackson 7-string, and I think I recorded everything on that.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. I don't know.
But like, you said so long ago since you guys actually recorded it.
It is.
It's crazy. It was about a year ago, I think, when we tracked guitars.
Right on.
Yeah, and I did a lot of it, you know, recorded a lot of it myself. you know, between my studio, and then I'd bring like studio stuff to the practice area and do that. And Justin recorded the drums with our boy Jay Clifton.
Yeah,
that used to be in Alliance, so he's got a studio in his house, and it just kind of all came together.
I found him on like Discogs or something, and I nabbed a couple. Like I nabbed the Alliance Hit 'Em Up CD from him, because that's like the one I didn't have. So it was cool, you know. It's like straight from him.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of like when the Alliance CDs. Played here.
A bunch of Poison Tongues, Hard Right Way CDs in my basement.
Like, oh, right on. I love that album, man. I have that CD.
Yeah, that album was funny because a lot of people don't know this, but the first copies of that, the whole song order is off from like what the actual song names are and stuff. It's funny.
Is it like one behind or something?
I don't know.
I don't because I want to say that I'm going to have to check that when I get home. Funny that you said that.
I guess if that's the only way that you heard it, you wouldn't know any better. You just but until you see them live, and then they're like, "This is," and then like say it, and you're like, "No, it's not. It's not what it was on the album."
Arguing and shit. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, our band's always just been pretty chaotic. Just everything that happens, you know. And I don't know. We've been around since 2010. You know, Len singing and just I don't know, ups and downs and putting albums out and music, and the only reason we're around still is just the love of hardcore and
fucking A, dude.
Metal, just being a musician. I mean, personally me, that's all I do. Just record music, and you know, I don't really golf or like go do anything else. Like
nah, this man. Is
what makes me happy. It's making hardcore music, you know, recording other stuff with my friends, and
for and sure, dude.
About it, you know.
Yeah, like I'm not into sports really at all. I mean, at all actually, except for people like maybe some UFC shit because my son got me into that. So I like people beating on each other, I guess. But other than that, yeah, dude, this is all. It's always been about music, man. That's
and the Detroit Lions.
See you with some football. See, I can't even fuck with that.
But it's exciting. All my life, they've been such a shit.
Oh, fuck, I know.
Like, seriously, since I came out of the room, the Lions always sucked and never went anywhere. So for me to finally see this, them doing well, is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just don't want to be, like, one of those dudes that's like, yeah, fucking Lions! And, like, I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
That's me, dude. I don't know anything.
Yeah, dude. Like, yeah, we're like, we'll talk about Godzilla, and you guys can talk about football.
Yeah.
I just got a Gibbs jersey, like, this year, because it came out with those black Lions jerseys. I don't know if you guys seen those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those look
so badass.
I seen them.
I have to have them.
Those would be cool to mock up.
There's a tint shop up here that just wrapped somebody's truck in that like black and blue color that their helmets are.
Fuck, I haven't even seen that.
It looks fucking awesome.
The Ford truck has Lions trucks out.
Really?
Special edition ones that are out.
No shit.
That's crazy.
It might have even been that truck. I don't know, they're gonna capitalize on it though. Like they'll be like, "Oh, we can sell the Lions now." Like. So, yeah. Gotta get it while you can, I guess.
So, what are you guys doing aside from the band? What do you do in your other life?
We know what this guy does.
We know what this guy does.
I got two kids and work as a category manager, purchasing like software and negotiating deals and stuff.
Super exciting stuff.
Yeah, you see how thrilled he was talking about it.
I see that.
Yeah.
That's a cool job. I kind of fell into it, you know, and everyone's got to have something that they do at the end of the day to.
Oh, for sure, man.
The livelihood, support my family and everything. So I can't complain about it.
That's what's up.
The office job, you know, sit at a desk.
And, I'm the production manager at Edgeman Screen Printing. So I'm kind of
busy all the time.
Yeah, we're kind of like hardcore 24/7 these days.
Yeah, you guys are like known as one of the like best fucking shirt printing places in hardcore, you know?
Dude, we're
it's crazy.
I'm amazed every day at the quality of what we're doing, and it's getting better and better. We're growing as a company. We just installed a fourth automatic press.
Yeah, I saw you guys had some like old shit for sale.
Yeah,
like, maybe a month or so ago. It's like holy fuck.
It's still for sale. You want it?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'll make you a deal you can't refuse.
I love what Edgman's done for the scene too.
It's yeah,
like, it's so incredible. You know, Jimmy just kind of took it upon himself at shows and build this hardcore community and everything, and it's awesome. Like, hats off to him, you know, because it really just takes, you know, effort and dedication to pull that off. You know, not anyone can
no, do dude, that. It takes balls to fucking do shit like that. It's a huge risk with little chance of reward. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to do it, like, you know, you do it for the love, and sometimes you catch a good break.
Yeah, just hustle.
Yep.
Pull your ass off.
But yeah, you guys make some cool shit. And I love that it's like you got bands not just from Michigan, but from all over, like having Michigan fucking Edgemen print their shit. It's like even I'll take a little pride in that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, dude. I ship stuff every day to California, New York, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
We're shipping shit to bands on the road. You know, shipping them to UPS access points at CVS's and stuff like that for bands to pick up while they're on the road.
Crazy.
And it's, it gets a little wild sometimes, but it's awesome.
It's awesome to have that service, though, that if you're on the road and you're like, fuck, we ran out of this shirt, I need more, they can get it within a couple days.
That never happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, you never had that option before.
For sure. For sure.
We have some.
But yeah, no, it's been awesome hooking up with Jimmy and working with him. And like, I've been doing screen printing for 23 years now. So, and that was just 2 years ago that I started working for Edgemen. So it's like finally doing something and working for a place that I feel good about. And, you know, I'm excited to go to work every day. And,
that's the, you know, I think that's what's most important is waking up and like
wanting to go there.
Yeah.
No matter what you're making. Yeah, exactly. That's what I feel like.
Like the labor of love.
For sure, man. For sure.
And that you like, you know, it's not like it came overnight either. You had to earn that shit.
For sure, man.
Plus it takes a certain person to like have that. You know, a lot of people fall into like just like a 9-to-5 or whatever. And so like if you have sort of an unorthodox occupation that most people are like, oh, you can't live off that. Like it takes a certain person to like ride that out and get through that.
For sure. Yeah, it's risky.
All right. So now we can talk about your tapes because I feel like.
I was going to say you guys said. Obviously, Jimmy, Top Floor Tapes is putting your tape out, but what do you know what number you are?
Oh, on the label?
Yeah, because it's like he's got like
weird numbering.
I mean, I'm like, did I see this one yet? Because it'll be like he'll have three different ones on pre-order, then the one's coming in, and then I'm like, what number is this? Which is cool for him because he's getting all kinds of fucking bands, which is sick, but
yeah. I have no idea what number
be like because Flesh Wound's still coming out, I think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
He dropped like three of them in a week. It seemed like, you know, about a month ago.
Yeah, I got the Clock Face. I got the Suffer No Fools. What was the other one?
Clock Face.
Suffer No Fools.
Yep. I feel like those all came out like within a week.
Yeah, they came out.
Or at least were announced within a week of each other.
Yeah. Which I can't wait to see Clock Face, man. I really dig that band.
Yeah, Black Christmas.
Yeah, are you guys going to go to Black Christmas?
I'll be there. I also play bass in Annie Up right now. So,
okay. Oh, right on.
So we're playing. So I'll be there for sure.
I just scored an Annie Up 7-inch from Chubbs from One Life Crew, and it was like 49 out of 50, and had Charlie Manson on the cover. It's like a 10-inch or a 7-inch. It's pretty cool. You remember that?
That predates me by a long shot. Yeah, I've only been in Annie Up for a few months now.
Oh, so. I gotcha.
Yeah. Oh. I'm a new guy. I'm the new guy in Poison Tongues, too. I've only been in the band for 8 years.
Yeah, you can't.
That is funny.
You got to hit that 10-year mark. You're always
the new guy. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So you guys said also you have, like, a lot more written already to even put out maybe another EP or at least put one down?
Yeah, that's the goal.
Now, is that one, like you said, this is like a concept, sort of. Is the next one like that, too? Is it a continuation? Is it a different concept? Is it, or what?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, you know. Like, my vocal style just kind of just evolves, and I just do shit I'm into, you know.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Everything we do changes a little bit. This new stuff is evolved again after Beneath the Ice.
Like, that's really... yeah. That's, I guess that's what I'm asking is, like, yeah, how much has it changed? Because you're putting out this in a couple weeks, which will be almost a year since you recorded it, but then you already sound different, you're saying, than a little evolved even from that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's cool. That it makes a. It makes me want to hear more, definitely. Makes me curious, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, like, developing a vocal style, this is the first time I've ever, you know, been a lead vocal in a band, just my whole tenure playing guitars and bands.
Yeah, so, you've just kind of done, like, the backups here and there, right?
Yeah, you know, so really developing your style, it takes a while, you know, like, at least for me it does, just to try to sound, you know, authentic at the same time, right? And
yeah, you don't want to sound like you're ripping somebody else's vocal or something.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and so that's important to me too, you know, is just having my own style. And, you know, if people hear a record or hear me, they'll be like, oh, I recognize that.
Exactly. You guys just put out a video too yesterday. That was awesome, dude.
Yeah, that was cool filming that. We did that in the Declender Cut, which is a pathway in Detroit that it's all nice now. Back in the day, it just used to be train tracks, like kind of like a undergrade train kind of track that ran through, and they made it this nice walkway. And there's tons of murals and
just cool shit.
So yeah, and I walked down there with my family, you know, and saw this one. I was like, that'd be badass to film a video under that and get in. And it was cool. Just like, hats off to Popo that did the video for us, and he does like so many amazing videos. Like, I don't know if you've seen Illmatic videos.
Oh yeah.
Hip hop videos and stuff. So his style is real cool. We knew we wanted him to do it. And when we were down there too, filming the video, all of a sudden this like bike riding crew just comes out, you know, like on pedal bikes.
Yeah.
Passes the video. So we didn't even know that was going to happen. So we got some shots off that. And
happy accident.
Yeah, the whole experience was just really fun, like filming it. And then
The dark scenes we did at Edgemon, we actually went back to Edgemon and hung a light from the, like, one single light from the ceiling, turned all the lights off. And that was how we did the dark sequences. And that was pretty fun. Schmo jumped up on a ladder and rigged up that light.
Yeah, he's a tree trimmer, so all of us were like, how do we do this? He's just like, we'll do it. And
it's funny. I noticed that in the video, and I was going to try to write them all down before we started, but, you know, I didn't have enough time. I only got a few. But, yeah, you guys, like, basically nod as many Detroit bands as you can in there.
Yep.
And that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that was the idea we had for it.
We were each brought like a big giant bag full of t-shirts and hats, and we tried to, like, every time we'd stop for a second, we'd like, all right, change shirts.
Yeah, it's not something a different shirt. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, you know, just to kind of share a little, you know, Detroit history of.
Yeah, no, I've never seen anything like that before. It's a fucking good idea. You know, I don't think I have.
No, I mean, it's all just about representing hardcore.
I guess not as pushed like that. Not like you always see some band in a video wearing a band t-shirt, but not swapping out every scene like
that.
Yeah,
and like the whole fucking kick drum is all Detroit stickers.
Yeah.
That shit was cool.
Well, that's just Justin's thing. He always covers his kick and band stickers.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, I think me and Justin came with that idea for the t-shirts. It was weird. I was thinking of that old Poison video where CC DeVille switches his guitar in every scene.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, but it's like a thing you don't notice until somebody points it out and you're like, oh yeah, he is playing a different color guitar in every single scene. We're like, we should do that with t-shirts. You know?
Yep.
Plus, it's Edgeman probably did most of the t-shirt scene, so it's probably a little business ad, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
I did see, like, a real, real old Cold as Life shirt in there, like, right in the beginning, I think it was.
There's a couple classic. There's an old Annie Up shirt, too, the one that the Detroit Beatdown shirt that's towards the end of the video.
Oh, yeah. With the snake on the back?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
a sick fucking t-shirt, dude. If that was repopped, I'd buy it.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
I have two Annie Up shirts. One's got Trump on the back, and he's got, like, green eyes or something like that. And it says, like, destroy, obey, decay, or something like that. And then the other one's got the big Reaper dude on the back of it.
Oh, yeah. Always got good merch, man. Critter knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, those both, I got those quite a while ago, probably like 10 years ago now. But Poison Tongues, so Jason, you might not have been. Did you play up here with Poison Tongues when they played up here?
No, not at the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We had a lot of bass players in the band. Let's see.
It always seems like the bass players.
Four or five?
Yeah. See, a revolving door of bass players.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Fucking thing, stop.
Well, that's because everybody always wants to be the guitar player, the drummer, or the singer, and the bass player is almost always the last guy, unless you're like switching Coffin Cats bass player or something, then they don't want to play bass.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, that band would be done without.
Oh, yeah, just like that is it. I don't know, it's funny. But I like that you guys have
that. I'm a bass player, it's okay.
I played bass, and that's how I started playing bands. And
it's kind of funny. Me and Jay hadn't talked like in a while. Like, it was a while, and I was up north just sitting like on a little lake just at 4th of July. And all of a sudden he's like, Mike Eckert, is that you? And I'm like, what, dude? I'm like, what the fuck are you doing out here? Like,
weird.
Literally. Like this tiny little lake up in the middle of nowhere in northern Michigan, in like Lewiston, Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we have no idea that we both had like family cottages up there. So, like, it was like 4th of July, literally sitting on a blanket on the beach watching fireworks. And then, you know, a group comes in and sits on their blanket next to us and sits down. I look over and it's Mike. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
That's fucking crazy, man.
And then, like, just like a couple months after that, he asked me to join Poison Tongue. So that was a good meeting.
Fucking A. Go Lewiston. They're a little south of us.
It's weird how shit works out.
Yeah, man. You
know, situations in life, like, change things.
We've met a lot of people that have property up here or camp up close to here or whatever. Like, it's actually surprising how many people I've talked to from down there that are like, oh yeah, we love it up there.
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
I mean, it has its advantages and disadvantages, just like everywhere, anybody that lives there is gonna be like, yeah, try living here though.
Well, I did for a while. I lived I grew up closer to Traverse City. Just north of Manistee in a little town called Bear Lake. It's where I grew up. And
I've driven past a sign that says Bear Lake. I don't think I've ever actually gone in there.
There's no reason to.
Yeah, I know where Bear Lake is, but
just keep driving. It's all right. There's nothing there.
Yeah, I always thought you were from Traverse City. I mean, I guess I assumed, but
I was just maybe 45 minutes south of Traverse City is where I grew up. So, but I remember back in the day, the live with it days, we would drive from there over to Alpena
and back.
Yeah, and back. So, you know, a lot of shows in Traverse City and Alpena back then. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, dude.
But you know, when I wanted to play music more regularly, it became pretty obvious that I had to move down to Detroit. So that's what I did. You know, when we started Today I Wait, that was always a Detroit-based band.
Well, then you obviously know Dave from, why am I drawing a blank now? Last Gasp.
You know, yeah.
It was cool. Like, you kind of did that too, I guess. Or it seems you had to get out and go where there's an actual scene that's not dependent on like 20 people, you know, as far as.
Yeah, Dave used to play in a band called Tiger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
and we used to play together in Traverse City all the time.
Yeah, I really shout out to Last Gasp. I love their album. Fuck, dude, last year that was one of my favorite albums. It came out last year.
Yeah, they're so good.
Fast and to the point.
You said that you had played with like As Heroes Die and stuff too, right?
Yeah. I think it was like, we used to play a few shows with As Heroes Die back in the day, and that was my old band Live With It. I'll start bringing out the tapes now. Live With It, 1998. Oh, shit. As Heroes Die, 1999.
See, we interviewed somebody from As Heroes Die, and he didn't even bring any props. What the fuck, Bill?
Because Bill doesn't have any.
I know.
And we were in another band, and I hit him up, and I have 5 copies of this comp we were on, and I'm like, you want me to save one of these for you? Yeah, all right. It's still sitting there. Like a month ago.
That's sick. We played at Sanborn Hall, and that was a show we were talking about earlier with Walls of Jericho.
Yep. That was my favorite place.
Walls of Jericho was at that time. The only thing they had out was 7-inch.
Yeah. I have a Walls demo tape. That's before that, I think.
That's awesome. But I remember we played that show, and I didn't know anything about Walls of Jericho. I just knew that there was somebody from Universal Stomp in the band, and we were so excited
because
we were huge Universal Stomp fans. So I remember we probably fanboyed out on Aaron pretty bad that day. We were just like, dude.
I kind of did that a little bit last year at Black Christmas because I had I posted some old like Aaron Ruby band shit, like demos that I had, and he's like, oh, fucking cool, man. That's awesome. You know, I was like, I didn't know what to say to him or whatever after that. He's a super nice guy, though.
You had a starstruck moment?
It wasn't like starstruck. It was just like, I don't know, man. It's weird because he's just been around forever.
Yeah.
And then it all comes around full circle. Mike got to play with Earth Mover at that show.
Yeah.
Fucking, that was badass. So.
It's cool as fuck, man.
Yeah, it was cool just learning all those songs. It was like, you know them in your head, just, you know, and then actually playing the guitar to it. It was an awesome experience.
I imagine, dude.
So we heard some of Jason's early bands. Mike, what were some of your earlier bands?
See, notable earlier bands. On high school, let's see.
He's holding it up.
Yeah, do it, dude. Hold him up and talk.
I don't got no props like Jay did.
Yeah, he'll prop you.
All my tapes are downstairs. So, yeah, Roots of Anger is probably first band that we made a tape, like a legit tape with. And then that band kind of turned into Hyde. Like, because the singer at the time like quit the band and we were trying to figure out what to do, and then we met Joe Hyde up at the Loft in Redford, and that's where all the bands really practice, like in the area. And there's like a million spaces up there. The place is a dirty fucking place. It smells like piss every time you walk in there. Like even, so we met him up there, and he, we did it, started doing Hyde, you know, and Hyde was metal core, metal hardcore. I don't know how you explain it, because it was definitely like,
it was unique.
We definitely were like a hardcore band, you know, just of the style of writing. But then it was like metal
infused,
you know, yeah. Like the delivery was, yeah. You know?
Yeah, that shit. I mean, just maybe because I was so young or whatever when you guys did that. But I can still listen to that shit today, and it's just like, fuck yeah. And then you had the sample from Fight Club at the beginning, like of the first album or the EP. It's like so sick, dude.
That was sick. I mean, and that's like one of my favorite movies of all time too. And so yeah, Hyde was cool. That we put out some albums. Can't even remember what they're called now, but did Hyde for a while.
It was early 2000s. It was probably 10 words long.
It'll be the
Sky's false persona,
and a beautiful
nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was pretty sweet, and both those albums turn out great.
They did. They do. They're fucking sound great.
And, Cloud City Studios, Houston did an awesome job. And then after that, I was in the Alliance for a long time. The Alliance is badass. So I played guitar on that for some years with Clifton, Joe, Herb, and Will. Well, other guitarists, and Will was in Hyde with me too, same with Joe. And then after that, I played in a band, I Am Cursed. I played bass in for a little bit, and that was just like a straight up metal band, just with like sick breakdowns. And we did that for a little bit. And that was with the old drummer from Hyde, Keith. And then Nick Donikowski, you guys know him.
He's from
Alpena native.
Yep.
Yeah, he sang in that for a while, so I did that. And then after that, it was some years until I started doing anything again. Really, like I was doing like kind of side rock bands, you know.
Just
like,
whatever.
Yeah, I was in a band with like Steve from Capture the Flag and Brett from Radio Holiday for a little bit. We like made a couple songs, played a show, and then it fizzled out, you know.
Man, what are you gonna do?
Then like me and Lenny started talking. He's like, dude, I just want to make a fucking heavy ass fucking hardcore band. Let's just fucking do it. And so we sat in my basement for a while and just like recorded like 6-7 songs for the demo. Right. And then just started finding people to fill in, you know, to play, you know. Justin has been the main drummer, you know, for the whole tenure of the band. And then we had a lot of bass players coming out, like Andrew, Terry from Escalation of Force, Smashing Enemies.
Yep.
Even Jay Navarro played bass for a couple of shows.
No shit.
Jam was playing bass and singing in the band as second singer for a while. And then Jay's been the longest bass player.
Hi.
What up?
Okay, I'll be right there, okay, in a second. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I do music. That's all I really do is just, you know, write shit and in bands, and that's kind of like my purpose in life. Like even like, you know, my family's been in music. Like back to my great grandfather used to have a, you know, a string acoustic band, you know.
Motherfucker was playing on a goat string
from porch band.
Yeah, but yeah, over like, well, they're Czech, so in the Czech Republic,
you know. Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah. And I got a picture right here of him and his little guitar band. It's
awesome.
It's crazy. So it just kind of runs in my blood, you know, and can't not do it.
So Jason, what was, since like you were come, we kind of come from similar areas in Michigan. Well, how did you get into fucking punk rock or hardcore, or like underground music in general? Like, how'd you catch like wind of it, or, you know, what drew you to it?
Well, I guess when my dad was really into like heavier 70s rock bands. I grew up on ZZ Top and Deep Purple and bands like that, just from my dad's record collection. And so I was always interested in guitar because of that. Like, you know, I knew I loved guitar driven music in general.
It's like you heard AC/DC and you were like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude. Seriously. Sure.
No, I mean, that's what I'm, classic rock up here is like so influential. It's insane.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you got whatever, KLT, and you know what I mean? Yep. Like all the classic rock stations up there. That's like all we listen to. But I think I always wanted to play guitar because of that. And I think I was probably maybe in eighth grade or something when I got my first guitar, and realized immediately that it's a lot harder to play guitar than I thought. So that's what kind of drew me towards punk in the beginning, was punk rock, was because I was like, oh, well, I can play these punk songs. You know, I don't have to be a shredder. You know, I can play a Nirvana song or a Ramon song or something like that. And I really think that's what got me started playing punk music, was just because it was like, I wasn't that good yet. So I wanted to, start somewhere where I could have fun.
If Sid Vicious can do it, you can do it.
Trying to figure out something that I can't play, you know?
Yep.
So I started my first punk band in high school. And then one of my best friends, who later became the drummer of Live With It and of Today Await, Dave, introduced me to some other guys that also like punk music. And that's how I started my first band. And then, but he was always into metal. So it was like, I had the punk band and then he had the thrash band, you know.
That's always nice when you can trade like that.
So it was kind of like, because I loved punk and I was hanging out with all these metal heads, kind of our common ground was hardcore, like bands like Sick of It All and Agnostic Front were like bands that appealed, and Biohazard appealed to all of us. So it was like, that was kind of like our middle ground, you know.
Yeah,
so that's kind of what got me into hardcore, was like, you know, I wanted to play with these guys, but they weren't really into punk. And I wasn't like, I love metal, but like not, I couldn't play it. So it was like, well, let's play hardcore music, you know? And then we'd go to, you know, shows and watch how kids go off. And it's like, well, we want to do that, you know? Just seeing the reaction of everybody to hardcore bands was like what drew me into that style, you know?
Oh, for sure. Everybody just going fucking crazy and you see that shit for the first time.
Yeah.
It fucking blows you away, dude.
Yeah. Sing along.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like that's, yeah. I was like, I want to be a part of that scene, you know? And, you know, and that's when we started getting into Victory Records bands and
Fuck Journey, dude.
And then just
fucking Journey
off the rails from there.
When did you move down to, Detroit? Soon after,
it was 2000.
Yeah, so you've been down there a long while.
Yeah, yeah. I went to college at CMU.
So oh, okay.
As soon as I graduated, I moved to Detroit. I was already like, we'd already started Today Await at that point, and I was driving every weekend for practice down to Detroit for a little while before I moved. But
gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And then
now you're kind of like a Detroit staple.
Yes, sir.
So as far as music today goes, what are you guys into as far as what you're listening to currently?
Shit, for me, I don't know. I listen to everything, so.
Well, good. Question after that. So.
I love all the new hardcore bands coming out, you know, that are around. I mean, like Resolute, Escalation of Force, and Off the Wall, Deadhang, Bareface, all these bands that we're playing with are all badass. you know,
No for No Fools,
Boys Like, you know, Never Ending Game,
Bad Beat,
D Block. But then
that's,
you know,
what I'm saying. Isn't that fuck? It's just fucking crazy.
You can't just remember everything.
Never Ending Game.
The local scene is so solid right now.
You could just listen to only Michigan bands
and be good. Like,
I know, right?
It's so good.
Well, then, you know, just listen to classics, right? Integrity, right?
Uh-huh.
Life, Warzone. I mean, really what got me started in hardcore is Minor Threat back in the day. And before I even knew what hardcore was, I was just like, I like hardcore punk. That's what I thought it was. Just like
that fast, fucking that angry, fast, angst shit.
Punk,
yeah.
You know, exploding.
Bad Brains.
Minute and a half song, fucking.
Negative Approach.
Yep, Negative Approach.
I had to name drop it.
First Mover. Definitely a fan. You know, I've always been a fan of that.
So we always ask this to people, like, towards the end of episodes. And since you said you listened to a little bit of everything, this could be interesting or not surprising. But what is something that you listen to outside of the genre of music that you guys play that people would not expect?
I mean, like, alternative folky stuff, like Pine Grove, like Spoon, which is more kind of rock, you know, like Caged Elephant. I don't know.
Sort of like indie
hipster shit.
Yeah, hipster shit.
I don't want to call it. I was gonna say like indie rock.
Yeah, it's,
we'll just call it what it is.
Waxahachie. I don't know if you heard of Waxahachie before, but
I don't think I have, honestly.
No, the only ones that I knew in there was Cage the Elephant and Spoon.
Yeah.
And I've always been in lots of different styles of music too. Like, I mean, I love death metal. I love indie rock. I love pop punk. I love, you know, and I like playing that kind of stuff too. It's like I play in five bands right now, but not just Poison Tongues and Annie Up. But I also play. I play in like kind of a heavy indie shoegazy kind of band called Shobajin. I sing and play guitar, and we kind of have like a hum. Smashing Pumpkins-ish kind of thing going on.
Sounds interesting.
I play bass in a band called Mean Mother that I've been in for 20 years. That's a stoner rock band. It's like Black Sabbath worship.
Five fucking bands, dude. So, like, what happens when one of them wants to go on tour? I mean, then you got two,
first
three of them.
First come, first served, man.
Yeah, first come, first served.
book it ahead of time, you know? Yeah, just book stuff far enough in advance so, you know.
And it's got to be cool. I mean, obviously, working around, even if you were to like actually go on a fucking tour, you can work around your employer's schedule, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No, we are always watching out for each other there, which is great, you know, because, you know, Jimmy with Bad Beat, you know, they've been doing a lot of the festivals and stuff like that. And then DJ, the other owner of Edgeman, he's like the official roadie of the Suicide Machine, so every time they do something,
oh, he's gone.
You know, so we cover for each other, and it's nice like that.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like I was saying earlier, it's important to like work in an environment where you get along with people, man.
Yeah,
I mean, it's awesome. Better that than going to your boss and he's just like, I don't give a fuck about your shitty band, like you're working.
Yeah, pretty
well,
much.
Well, and then Justin, our drummer, he also works at Edgeman, so I'm technically Justin's boss, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'd fucking use that to my advantage sometimes, for sure.
Yeah.
But get out of the bathroom, dude. You're going to lose your job.
He bosses me around, so it kind of works both ways. Oh, okay.
Well, he can boss you around in the band since you're the new guy, and you can exchange the favor at work.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
But anyways, I know it's the weekend, so people probably want to get out and take care of some shit. So unless you got, Jeremy, you got anything else you want to get off your chest before we wrap things up?
Oh, yeah, one more thing. Jason, did you see Waxworks released a new version of Godzilla soundtrack?
No.
Oh, dude.
It's like the
it's sick.
It's like 50. It was like 50s or 60s era, wasn't it?
It's from 1954. It's the 54. It's the first Godzilla movie, and they put out a soundtrack that just repopped it, and it's like from Waxworks, and it's fucking sick.
That sounds awesome, man.
So like, I looked that up.
You just cost the guy $55.
No, it's not that. It's not even that. I think it's like 35, dude. It's not even bad. Maybe 40.
I thought it was like a triple set when I seen it or something.
There is a box set that's $900, but it has like everyone in it. But it's like, who the fuck can afford that?
I'm probably actually, as soon as we're done here, I'm probably going to go up to it. There's a toy show in Clawson today, and I know they're. A lot of kaiju stuff there, so I'm kind of excited to check that out.
I just admire that shit from a distance, because if I start spending like money on Godzilla toys, holy shit, dude, my old lady's gonna freak the fuck out.
You could like
all you need is more tchotchkes, you know.
get a big ass statue for your front yard.
Yeah, dude. That's a good idea.
Edward Scissorhands, a bush into one or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember when they were going to put a fucking RoboCop statue in Detroit? And there was like a petition going around. Yeah, like I remember signing something on MySpace, dude. Whatever happened to the fucking RoboCop idea?
They exchanged it for the fist.
I guess. No. Yeah, they're like, we're going to keep Joe Louis's fist here for a couple more years. Anyway.
But anyways, we appreciate you guys jumping on the show. I guess before
we thanks for reaching out, man. I fucking appreciate it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have anything you want to say before we tie things off here?
Detroit hardcore forever,
bitch.
All right, we look forward to the new album, and we'll be in touch with you online as well. And like I said, we'll be dropping this on Monday, and then... yeah, we appreciate your time. It was cool talking to you. And if you guys are at Black Christmas, we'll see you there.
Everybody check out their new fucking song up on, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you find it.
Everywhere, yeah.
And music video is up on YouTube.
Video's on YouTube. It's on Instagram on our Reels.
Check it out.
All right. You guys enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk with you soon. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, dudes.